and welcome to episode 16 of My Freelance Life, a podcast from the team here at Millo.co. I'm Preston, and with me, as always, on the air today is my friend Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, hey.
If you've listened to the show before, you know now that Andy recently quit his job. I guess not so recently anymore. He started working for himself, and this show is a weekly check-in with Andy to see what really happens when you decide to start freelancing full-time. You'll find show notes for this episode at freelancelifepodcast.com. And this episode is brought to you by our premium client hunting service, Solid Gigs. When you sign up for Solid Gigs, you'll receive a weekly list of freelance gigs from some of the best companies in the world. We're talking about companies like Dribbble, WordPress, Etsy, Trello, Yelp, BuzzFeed, Fitbit, InVision, plus dozens of small and medium businesses hiring contractors and paying freelancers what they deserve. Instead of wasting hours each week hunting through thousands of online freelance jobs, let our team do the work for you, freeing you up to spend more time doing the work that you love and billing your clients for it. You can learn more about Solid Gigs at solidgigs.com/Andy, where you can get your first gig list completely free. Again, that's solidgigs.com/A-N-D-Y. Okay, Andy, let's dive into today's conversation. I'm really excited to hear how things have been going. I know when we jumped off the air, a little bit after we jumped off the air last week, you sent me a text message and said, hey, this really cool thing happened that related to what we talked about last episode. So I'm dying to hear what I've been waiting a whole week to hear from you. Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, that was because last week, one of the things we talked about was, well, we were talking about rates and how, and you were saying and reminding that a lot of people out there who are hiring freelancers are given a budget by the company they work for, and it doesn't matter to them necessarily how it gets spent. What matters to them is that they get the job done and everything.
Right, yeah.
So, and my, as a reminder of the ongoing story arc, my wage or my hourly rate is still set at what I set it to, which I thought was being really high before I left on the trip. And so
okay,
it's still set there.
You haven't brought it back down. You raised it really high before your trip to Europe and you haven't brought it back. Okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Partially just because, because I want to see what happens actually, but also because I'm not trying to take on a whole ton of new clients as I finish up some other ones, though I still do entertain occasional invitations to interview and whatnot. But, so what happened is my rate's set there and I get a message, an invitation from a client, and it's someone that I worked with back in November or December and made something for them. And I got an invitation. I'm trying to think of the actual timeline of how it happened. I think I just got an invitation and they were like, hey, remember this thing you did for us? We just need to make a few changes because the reports that were getting from our software different. So the spreadsheet needs to process it different. Anyway, just a couple small things, whatever. Can you help us make those changes? And I said, yeah, sure. And so I accepted the interview. I didn't, whenever you accept an interview on Upwork, you can, it will by default put in your default rate, but you can adjust it and such. But I just left mine as is. I accepted the interview and I said, yeah, let's work on this. And the rate I think is probably double or more than the first time they paid me. And the client, he just never said anything about it. So it, I think it's a case of exactly what you said, that before, like the hourly rate was fine. And as it is now, double or more, it's still fine. And so he never said anything of it. He accepted the interview, sent the offer, and now we're cruising on ahead with it.
That's incredible, man. And yeah, it's a testament to the fact that he cares way more about finding the right person to get the job done well than he does about how much it's going to cost, particularly because it's not his money, I'm assuming, right? It sounds like he maybe works for a larger company. It's not like him running a one or two person company. He works for, he has a 9-to-5 job working for someone who gives him a budget and, or maybe doesn't even care about the budget. I mean, you'd be shocked. And especially freelancers who like don't spend any time in corporate world in a corporate job or whatever, they maybe don't realize exactly what you're saying, which is people kind of don't care about the money as long as you can solve their problem. I mean, obviously within reason, right? But if I had to guess, I'd say in another 6 months, you could double the price again. And if he needed the solution fixed again, he would call you up. And at some point he might say something, but for now, yeah, that's amazing. That's really, really cool. Yeah.
And I think it may not just be the rate in general is not an issue, but exactly what you said, that it's just... For this particular project, maybe it's worth it to him because I built the first project, and to pay someone else to do it could likely take twice as long. So they could just as easily pay me twice as much and have the same result, the end, probably better result because I'm familiar with what was built the first time. But I think it's also possible that even my rate that I'm charging now is not overly absurd to him. And last time when I worked for them, I looked up the company and they did seem to be a fairly sizable company. So I think it's the scenario you're describing. Either he's given a budget that he can do what he wants with, or perhaps maybe he's even higher up in the company and is more in the lines of controlling the budgets. I don't know, but that's the scenario from the week.
Well, and I don't want to be a doomsdayer or, you know, maybe not count our chickens before they're hatched here. But I guess one thing to keep in mind is, you know, once the bill comes through for this second project, he might realize that it was more than he paid before. Maybe he didn't pay attention to it the first time around because he assumed you had the same rate as before or whatever. So it'll be interesting to watch, you know, when you complete the project for him, if he says anything. But my guess is it's like what you've said. My guess is he just is fine with the new rate. So good for you, man. That's awesome. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, what else has been happening this week? I mean, walk me through what you've been working on and how you've been growing your business. I know we talked a couple episodes ago about you trying to like build a brand, maybe sort of turn it into more of a brand or a business than just like a single freelancer, at least from the outside, not necessarily hiring on tons of more people at this point, but maybe naming your business and building a website around that name and that brand to attract more clients. Do you want to walk us through anything that's been happening in that realm?
Yeah. And there's actually a couple of things I want to talk about and ask you about on this.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been trying to come up with a good name so that I can feel comfortable with it moving forward. Though in a lot of ways, the main goal of solidifying a name is so I can get a specific domain for my business to have a website. And also I think some of the bigger things are that I want to use it to compartmentalize the work that I'm doing, because so much of it is in Google. And I, instead of using my personal address, I want to have a separate address. And also because a lot of the possibilities for what I can help people make, instead of like describing it vaguely. So there's this thing called Google App Maker, and it's kind of like Google App Script in that you can use it to make, solutions, and Google Apps Script is what I do now primarily, but it's a application builder that allows you to build, I'm having a hard time describing it, that lets you build things that will be useful for a business or an enterprise organization.
So it might be like an app that parses a bunch of data and makes it extremely readable or usable in a weekly meeting or something that I have to go to. Like, is that something you can use it for?
Or you can like have it be, it's your database of all your employees, and you build using this app maker, the interface to,
for your HR department or something,
to query those and to assign them to things and whatever. So it's basically a way of just making app building and software building more accessible by giving you like a platform to build it on. Maybe it's like, and this is, it's not quite this simple from what I understand, but maybe it's like using a WYSIWYG editor for a website. But instead of building a website, you're building an application to interface with your data and everything. Anyway, so what it is it seems like it could be a really cool thing. And I've already had people ask about it in, in job stuff. So, but to get it, to get access to it, because it's either beta or something beta-esque, and to get access to it, you have to have a G Suite account. So a paid, like of your course. Own branded domain Gmail account or Google account. And so I would love to get access to this so that I can learn it myself and then in turn help other people build things. So that's another reason why I want to get one of settle on a name, is so I can get my G Suite account going to keep my work separate from my personal account, and also so I can have access to these sorts of things as they come down. So I told you last time and that I was looking at a, well, I don't think we talked about it on air, but I was looking at a .io domain name.
Yeah, I think we talked about that after last episode, so we may need to catch people up. Yeah.
So I've been asking a few people, and I'm getting mixed reactions on it. Some people love it. Some people think maybe it's a little too, not misunderstood, but not well known enough to be recognizable. Either to be recognizable on site as, oh, that's a website I could go visit. Or some people have said that when they see a brand that does not have a .com, then they kind of assume that it's not very well established. Right. And so I'm trying to, the tough thing is once I came up with my name and found the .com wasn't available, but the IO was, I really loved it. I'm stuck on it. And I, like, my brainstorming stopped at that point. And partially because I had spent more time thinking about the new name, but I found it hard to go back to brainstorming because I have this name in my head that I love, but it has some compromises. So that's where I'm at with all that.
It's interesting how anything that's not a .com is sort of seen as like an off-name brand for a website. But I will say, you know, we talked about this a little bit off the air, but I think it could be valuable for listeners who are maybe coming up with a brand name for their particular freelance business. Especially, hopefully we have a lot of listeners kind of in the early days, you know, following your journey. I think it can be easy to get hung up on this kind of thing when it may not make that big of a difference, and or it could be changed later on if really it was a major problem. And also, you know, I guess the point of that to sort of round that out is, and when I say you, I don't mean you, Andy, I just sort of mean generally everybody. You can't let something like this hang you up for too long, right? So many people get caught up in your business name and your logo and your website design and all of this stuff before they ever start making any money. Now it's a little different in your situation, Andy, so I applaud you for that. You know, you've obviously focused on building your Upwork profile, getting actual clients, bringing revenue in the door and that kind of thing. But so many people sort of daydream about a business and they do all of this. They design business cards and they, all of these things that really don't matter maybe as much as you think they do early on. A name is probably more important than a business card or a logo, I'd say. It's a little harder to change a name and a URL. But really, I guess the moral of the story for me is, like, you can't let it stop you from moving forward and actually building a business. You know what I mean? So I guess I'd applaud you for maybe doing that in the right order. I think it's probably time for you to put some serious thought into that. And I think it's great you've put some thought into that. I would also say, and I said this off the air last time, it depends a lot on your audience. Like, there are plenty of people like you and I who a .io is no big deal. Like, I'll go to a .io and use their service and it can be as legit as anybody else. But, you know, my dad, who is mildly tech savvy, but he's not nearly like we are, he might second guess a .io. He might not even know, like, it might take a second. You might need someone, like you said, to say, oh, this is a URL. You type that in and it's like a .com.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so it depends, you know, if you're mostly handing out business cards to people like my dad, well, then that could be a problem. But if you're mostly relying on search from people like me, well, then you'll be fine. So it all kind of depends on who your audience is, I'd say, when considering your name and also your domain extension.
Yeah, I think I've come to terms with the recognizing it as a domain, because I was thinking about it and I thought, anytime somebody sees this, it's probably almost all of the time it will be on the web, and so it will be visibly clickable. Like it will just naturally register as a link, or they won't even see it as a link. They'll just see the name. And the only other time would be potentially like on a business card, in which case there would be the name, but right by it, it would say, it would have my email address, Andy at blah, 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 blah. And then that's obviously as well a domain. So I feel comfortable with that. The only thing remaining now is whether or not it looks like less, not trustworthy, but less established.
Less legitimate.
And I feel like it's fine. There's some brands that are like specifically, they're like very much tied to a .io name, and it's just who they are. It's almost like it's part of the brand name. And to me, it's definitely becoming more acceptable. But like you said, that's in my world. And I have to be considerate of what my clients might think. And again, maybe this is spending too much time thinking about this aspect. Probably in the end, if I picked it, then I won't make a huge difference. Maybe no difference at all moving forward. But I think it's just, I want to do just a little more like due diligence, brainstorm a little more, see if I can come up with something else that I feel as good about. But this one just has really stuck with me. So.
No, I think just to be 100% clear, I think you've done it in the right order. You know what I mean? I think you've maybe gone without long enough, and now you're deciding to focus on this. And that makes sense to me to give it a little bit more due diligence, a little bit more thought, and a little bit more time. I think so many people get hung up on it in the early stages before they even really have a business rolling, and it can really stop people. It keeps people in the daydream entrepreneur phase where they hate their desk job and all they want to do is start their own business, but they get hung up on designing their business card or coming up with a name. So I think you've done it in the right order here. It'll be good to hear. Hopefully we can reveal what the name is eventually. Once you actually have the domain you want, we can reveal that here on the show. We could talk a little bit more about how you
big conspicuous yes.
We can talk a little bit more about how you came up with the name and that kind of thing. I think one final consideration maybe for listeners who are deciding on a name and particularly a domain is that .io, you know, will people remember that it's a .io, or will they naturally remember that it's a .com? You know, if you don't have the luxury of giving them a business card or giving them something with it typed on it or written on it, will they, if you just say, you know, I'm, you know, andysbusiness.io, will they then go home and type in andysbusiness.com? And where you don't have control over the .com, you know, might the person who owns it turn it into something one day? It all is a little bit up in the air, but I'm really interested to hear, you know, maybe next week or in a few weeks, whenever you ultimately decide what to do, how that goes and how you find it after, you know, months of giving it to people and that sort of thing. So that'll be a fun journey to watch.
Yeah. And that's a couple of things on that is the .com is not available. I emailed the person who owns it after doing some research to find it. And some like back research on the domain, because the domain was used like back in the 90s, I think. And I went in the Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine. And have you used that before?
Yeah, it's fun.
And I went back, and so it hasn't had something there for, at least at the main domain, at the root domain, that hasn't had anything there for years and years and years. But like back in the 90s, it was this rad old site, like that looks exactly like you think. It had like this fluorescent bitmappy logo, and it was like it was just like this rad old website. And the person that owns it now has an email at that address, and I think it's just a semi valuable domain because it's relatively short. It's easy to understand words and all this. And he wants to hold on to it. He said he wasn't interested in selling. He was very quick to reply, which was awesome. You often don't get that with domain requests.
Yeah, but, really.
Anyway, so I'm hoping that what you said there, if I give someone the name, they go home and type it in with .com, they'll go to something that doesn't exist really. And then maybe they'll Google it. And in that case, there aren't that many instances of it. So I think it might be easy for me to rise to the top on the search results. And And I've even thought about the idea of, since the guy isn't actually hosting anything on the page, if he were to keep his email, but I offer to host just a single page on his site that just has a line that says, "Oh, were you looking for andysbusiness.io?" And then they can click over to that. It's a far-fetched idea, but
yeah, or
possible.
And, or even a redirect. You could even pay him. Basically, you could lease that space from him, you know, offer him whatever X dollars a month to redirect the .com to your .io too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And it might be worth it, you know, for both of us in that case. And you never know if he's going to turn it into something else, but I've watched it by scrolling through its history on the web, and it hasn't done anything for a long time. And I don't think its previous uses are going to be necessarily resurrected, because it's a bit outdated, perhaps. Maybe not. But anyway, so that's where I stand now, obviously being conspicuously not mentioning the actual name. Maybe that's me being, superstitious or whatever. But yeah, so I'm trying to figure that out. I actually have another question on this.
Yeah, shoot.
So I'm not entirely as innocent as you made it sound. Well, partially because I haven't maybe spent all this time in the months leading up to this, but now that I've like been thinking about names and everything, and especially once I hit on this name, it's been really hard to not just start doing exactly what you said. Like, I've gone to little business card designer websites and I've started laying things out with this business name, and I've started like sketching out logo ideas and all this. And so, I mean, yes, I haven't done this before now, but now that I'm in it, like, I'm definitely focusing a lot on that, and it's really fun, and it's hard to not go overboard, which that's part of the reason why I love this name so much, is because as soon as I thought of it, like, these ideas just come flowing in like crazy. And anyway, but I've been thinking about eventually, and this is regardless of the name, when I get my website going, I've thought about how I should talk about the people at the company, because right now it's me. And I wondered, is it okay to just have me? Should I have it like a section about the team and it's just me? Or should I say about me? Or do I want it to not look like a website about Andy, but a website about just non-specific amount of people company? And then I thought, and this is where the question comes in, I thought maybe I should have the team, and I can talk to a couple people I know who do work that's complementary to what I do, and see if they'd be willing to be on the page as part of the team, but not just as a place filler, but like legitimately, if I get requests that are things outside of my skill set, then I can pass the work on to them. And then I was thinking, if that actually happens though, like, do I want to become a manager? Do I want to have to start worrying about payroll, or should I just leave it me and just do what I've been doing? So what are your thoughts on that?
Those are a lot of great questions. I would say my primary answer to all of it would be to not let your website dictate your business model. You know, don't fact that you feel like you need an about me or an about us page, don't let going down that rabbit hole so far dictate how you build your business. Instead, build your business the way you want to. If you want to work with other freelancers and build sort of a collective, you know, I know plenty of people who have done that and done it successfully and they enjoy it. If you want to build something like that, then you design your website around the business that you want to build. Alternately, it could be a productized, sort of service. And if you're not familiar with productized, you know, either you, Andy, or the listeners, there's a great podcast and website by Brian Castle who talks all about productizing service businesses. I think it's just called the Productized Podcast. And anyway, you could do it that way as well, where you are hiring people, but they're not necessarily on like your about us page. I digress a bit there. My biggest piece of advice would be build your business model and then design your website to match what you want your business to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with just being one person, but having a name that's not Andy, you know what I mean? Saying even about, you know, you say about Andy's business, we're obviously placeholding that this episode, but you say about, and then your company name, people click on it. And then you say, I'm the primary guy. And I, you know, if I need help from other people, I'll reach out, but I can take care of most of your needs. I know plenty of freelancers that do that. They're still just a one person freelance shop, but they do it under a brand name of sorts. It does provide the flexibility later to branch out, to hire a team. But again, coming back to that primary advice, I'd say don't build your business model around what your website needs. Build your website around what your business model needs.
That is very good advice, very succinctly put. And yeah, it's an obvious answer now that it you does, say it.
And I don't think that makes the question any less valid. You know what I mean? I think it was an extremely good question, and a question lots of people probably are asking themselves, because there's this weird, you know, I'm one individual person, but I might be more later, but I might not. But I want a web presence, but I don't want it just to be andy.com. So, you know, like what do I do? And we've had people ask these kinds of questions all the time. Do I use we? Do I use I? Do I name it after myself? Do I name it something else? Do I have an about us or an about me or not an about page at all? Or there's so very, very legitimate questions. I don't know if I necessarily have all the answers. We'd love to hear from you, listeners. If you want to send us a tweet at Millo Team, or you can write us an email at shows@millo.co. If we get some good answers there, we can read them on the air and in a future episode. We'd love to hear what you think about the, you know, us versus me versus I versus we, all of that sort of thing. And then how to handle that on your website as well, particularly if you're an early stage freelancer like Andy. So
thank you for that. Those are good tips and thoughts. And I'm going to keep working on this idea and let it brew in my mind. But like I said, I'm going to keep trying to find some other names, but it's honestly hard because when I go back to I realize how difficult it was to find a good one to begin with. And I might end up going with this, but I'm also already okay with it. If I had to stop right now, I could pick that name and be totally fine with it, but I'll do some more thinking on it and then I'll, you know, update in the future. And when people find out what it is and when they go there and when they see my logo work, and since probably many of the listeners are designers, they're going to be like, what the heck is this? So maybe I need to, I'll eventually, if I need to upgrade, and maybe I can find someone from the pool of listeners.
There you go. Hire. Yeah. Plenty of web designers too in the group. Lots of talented designers in the group for sure. So that it is a fun, dichotomy here between, you know, you're one of the few freelancers that I know that, aren't in what typically you would call a creative business. Obviously you do creative problem solving and that sort of thing, but you know, most people I know are writers, designers, you know, marketers, that sort of thing. So it's been fun chatting with you. I think maybe this is a natural maybe stopping point for this episode, and we can pick up more thoughts on progress you've made in freelancing in general, but also on naming your business and getting your website up and running and that sort of thing in upcoming episodes. Does that sound all right?
That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks so much for chatting today.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. I feel like I've never said that, but that's like a classic thing to say. Thanks for having me on the air.
That is a classic. Well, yeah, I mean, by all means, it's your show. It's your freelance life, Andy, not my freelance life. So thank you for having
anytime.
Me.
Please come back.
I'll be back soon. I'd love to be on your show anytime. Yeah. As a reminder to the listeners, show notes for this episode can be found at freelancelifepodcast.com. And just one last time, I wanted to remind everybody that we have recently in the last few months launched our premium client hunting service called Solid Gigs. When you sign up for Solid Gigs, you receive a weekly list of freelance gigs from us. Our team goes out, hunts some of the most frequented and highest quality freelance job boards and gig lists from around the web. We hunt them all, almost 100 of them, and we post all of the very best freelance gigs for designers, writers, marketers, developers, all in one weekly gig list that we send right to your inbox every Monday. It's absolutely fantastic. Lots of users so far, and we're hearing wonderful things from them. Instead of wasting hours each week hunting through thousands of those jobs, we'll just do it for you. And you can learn more about it at solidgigs.com. If you visit solidgigs.com/Andy, A-N-D-Y, you can get your first gig list 100% free. Again, that's solidgigs.com/Andy. All right, thanks so much. My Freelance Life is a production of Millo.co. You can learn more about us and listen to our other podcasts at MILLO.co. The show is edited by Danny Gilman at echopodmedia.com. The theme music for this show is a song by Joaquin Carud called Road Trip. And we will talk to you next time on episode 17 of My Freelance Life. We'll see you later.